Good evening, everyone. This is the regular monthly meeting of the Coordinating Committee of the Pacifica National Board. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm the chair of the committee and also the recording secretary. We're going to get started this evening by taking the roll. Our quorum is five people, and we are right at quorum. So starting from the beginning, if you're here, please say so. Rika Ross. Alonzo Brown.
Yeah.
Okay. Richard Uzel. Mia Bidiaco.
Present.
George Ryder. Efia Wangaza. Lavarne Williams.
Present.
Arlene Engelhart.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg here. Joseph Wanzala.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum. So I sent out a draft agenda fairly early on today. I did speak with George on the phone, and he added one or two items to the time management question. But just to briefly go over it again and for the benefit of anybody on the phone, the first item was just quickly an evaluation wrap-up on the Berkeley meeting, what was good, what didn't work, and should be improved for the next one. A brief item on airfare control and airfare prices. Nia will probably have a report back about the logistics for the New York meeting at the Beekman Tower. And then George had two brief items about time management on the teleconferences, both of which I'm just going to basically report back his thoughts and see if the committee basically agrees or not. I think we might be able to rip through all of this in about an hour. We'll shoot for that. We'll see how it goes. And again, thanks everyone for coming.
Thank you.
Are there any changes, modifications, comments on the agenda?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Any objections to proceeding with this agenda? Okay. We do have some. I forgot. We do have some minutes from the previous meeting that were sent out after the last meeting. I didn't receive any comments on them, and since we do have quorum, unless people object, I'd like to put them up for approval. Are there any objections to going with the minutes that were sent out after the previous meeting?
They look good to me.
Okay, then we'll consider them approved. Okay, so that takes us to item one, which is sort of an evaluation or wrap-up on the Berkeley meeting. I guess we can sort of subdivide that a bit into the logistical aspects of it and then other aspects of it if people want to address those. But in terms of the role the coordinating committee played, I think it's mostly regarding the logistics and sort of the arrangement of the agenda, since that's really all the coordinating committee per se did. So does anybody want to put out any things went well, things that didn't go well? Comments?
The facilities went well.
Is there anything about the facilities part of it that we need to fix for the next meeting?
This is LaBarn. I have a comment.
Yeah.
The dining was very well, went very well.
Yes.
I think that the, in fact, I've been there to have to eat since then, so that shows that it was very good. You had a well-renowned chef, so that was very good. That's it.
This is Nia Tracy.
Yeah, Nia.
Yeah. Oh, everything was great, and their customer service is good because I was charged $7.63 for peanuts or something like that. And I told her, first of all, I didn't even see peanuts. I didn't see almonds, whatever. And they reversed that. And they were supposed to send you an email and send me an email. So I told her, I certainly did not have any peanuts or any almonds or whatever nuts they were talking about. But there was no question, maybe because it was just $7. They didn't really give me a hassle.
Okay. Anybody else want to weigh in on this?
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds pretty good. No peanut hassles. The food was good. Did the smaller size meeting room create problems for anyone? Because we used a substantially smaller room than what we usually use for the open session. All right. Are there any comments regarding the agenda that we have set up as a group? Any comments about that or concerns or?
Well, LaVarne, I think people were asking me in the audience for a copy of the agenda. So
right.
That is the only comment that I got.
Okay. So we need copies of the agenda.
I had that request, too.
Okay. Reasonable. All right, well, I don't think we need to belabor it if no one else has a significant comment. It sounds like as far as the coordinating committee's responsibility is, it went fairly well.
I think people would still be karaokeing if we had allowed it.
Okay, well, this committee has no direct responsibility for the karaoke, but, you know, we could take some credit. I think we did already, you know, thank the Pacifica National Office for the coordination of that party.
Right.
It was done well.
I'm just joking around because I literally had to chase people out at midnight.
Yeah, but the party was very, very good. Lynn and the crew did an excellent job. The food was outstanding. Really appreciate Vicki and Arlene allowing the event to happen there. So that was very good. And yeah, and then they provided the entertainment, the karaoke, so that was great.
The only comment I got was that one of the people that was upstairs at the house said, that one guy didn't have a very good voice.
All right, I will duly record in the meeting that some bad singing occurred. All right. So I think at this point we can move forward on the agenda. Aye, phone is ringing off the hook. Okay. I wanted to bring up the topic of airfare controls because it came up, and this is mostly going to be an informational item, although we can take comments. We had issues prior to the Berkeley meeting with a lot of PNB members, and this was also exacerbated by the fact that we decided to invite the GMs at the last minute, and they all had to make last-minute arrangements. But we had probably a good half of the board booking their transit arrangements to Berkeley within 2 weeks of the meeting date, and we also had a whole bunch of people who ended up rescheduling flights at the last minute, and the upshot of that is that we spent considerably more on flights than certainly when we were sketching out the prices we thought we were going to spend or hoped that we were going to spend by a couple thousand dollars. So just in terms of what's being done about that, because I will say that, you know, employees at the Pacifica National Office complained to me about it, is two things. First, NEA is very aggressively and assertively pursuing people to book their airfares now, which I appreciate. Thank you for doing that. The second thing is that we have asked the travel agent to run the itineraries and the prices by the National Office, or if she's unable to get a prompt response by me as the chair of the coordinating committee, just to make sure that before things are purchased that they are reasonable itineraries, and if something is kind of blowing out the budget that we sort of pay attention to it so it isn't just a question of being notified after the fact. What that, I think, may mean in practical terms is that we may get into a situation where if someone is trying to book an extremely overpriced airfare, it might be necessary for someone on the board to have a conversation regarding whether there are some other options that aren't so insanely expensive. So I guess one question is, Nia, would you like to take that on as the point person, or would you rather dish that out to someone else? It's sort of a enforcer role.
Well, since since New York is the next locale for the meeting, I'll just continue doing it. And I'm going to inundate people with emails about this. And I have to say thanks, Tracy, for booking yours. I got yours, I think, Andrea Turner. So far, that's it. And I, you know, when I said that as coordinating committee members, it was good for us to lead by example to book our flights, I really meant that. Tracy's flight was very, very, very low, you know. And I think that if everybody does it now, it should save a lot of headaches. So I'd be more than happy to do that, to have Becky contact me, and I would always CC the national office.
Okay, so you'll get a heads up if there's a kooky airfare coming through.
In the past, Becky always sent a copy of all the itineraries to me, and I would take a look at them and see if they were out of line. So I want to reinstitute that, because if it's really out of line, you know, we just can't afford it. And I'll just, Arlen and I both, I think we've gotten
So we could. Well, okay, LaVon, you've already been instructed to send them to Lynn Magno. Do you want them to come to you instead? Should I change that instruction?
Well, I think I was getting them along with Lynn, so Becky can just add me back on the distribution.
Okay, sure.
And I do not need to be on that distribution. Lynn and LaVon will handle it. And just as an FYI, pretty much LaVon and I make it a point to just book our own travel at the cheapest thing we can find. And we save the fees to the agency and usually find something cheaper. So we work that way with all of our travel.
And Southwest is, refundable. And since we're talking about this, I have a question. Nia, I understand that when you had booked through Becky Long and you had also booked the trip for your husband, that ended up being a duplicate billing for fares for both you and Baruti. How have you guys resolved that?
Could you please repeat that? I didn't hear you.
I understand that there was a duplicate booking with Becky for both you and for Baruti for the trip to Berkeley. How have you resolved that, or how have you resolved that?
Well, what happened was when, in my effort to try to save this foundation money, I called when Becky was, I didn't even know that Becky was on vacation, and there was another woman there, and she completely screwed up the flight from the jump because she was supposed to book mine. She had me scheduled for going in on a Wednesday. I have never, ever flown in on a Wednesday before. So that was her error. She was supposed to charge Bruce's ticket to a credit card. She didn't do that. But she did admit that she didn't do it that frequently and that there was an issue. I handed Arlene in her hand the check for Baruti when she was here at WBAI, so Baruti's ticket has been paid for. The mistake that they made, I think that the Universal Travel needs to absorb that. That my hotel was not booked for a day before. It was booked on the Thursday. But that person that Becky had there, she just wasn't as familiar as she should have.
Okay. Can I intervene a little to say I don't want to spend too much more time on this because it's kind of a... It can be dealt with off the stream, I think. It's kind of a personal...
Well, you know, I think that we need to talk about it because this is the type of thing we need to be aware of so it won't happen again. I mean, if these things happen, we need to be aware and so that this will not happen again because it definitely results in a charge to the foundation. So if Nia has explained it, I think that she's explained it, Tracy, and we can move on.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
Okay, so are there any other comments or concerns about sort of the idea of having a control system on the airfares? The national office will be notified prior to purchase, and if there is an issue or concern, the meeting point person, who in this case is Nia, will be asked to intervene with the PNB member in question and try to...
Alonzo, I have a question.
A solution, yes.
If I come up with a way which is cheaper to do transportation and hotel in New York, can I do so, or do I have to ask, or how does it work?
You want to do what that's cheaper? Make your own arrangement?
Right.
This is my position on that, that if you can get a cheaper airfare or a means to get it there, then I think that you should do that. But as far as the hotel, the plan is for all of us to be at the same hotel. And
okay.
Easier. But, exception, if there's a nearby hotel and you don't have to pay anything, then please. I mean, because some of us may be in New York and not even stay at the hotel, but we won't be charging anything to Pacifica. So, you know, the choice is, you know, with the hotel that we're at, or at a cost of zero. Or at no cost to the government.
Now, when does Pacifica have to know about the alternate arrangements?
Well, it depends on when we have the hotel booked. So Nia is coordinating this as chairing the New York PNB meeting. So, you know, she needs to know exactly, you know, how many people, so that we'll be able to inform the hotel. So that would be like, you know, a month ahead or even now.
Okay.
Tracy?
Yes.
Yes. Could I just have one point of personal privilege? I just want to make sure. Is Arlene on the call?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Arlene, do you acknowledge that I did pay you the money for my...
Oh, husband? Yes, indeed. And I've told Laverne that, and Lynn deposited it. No. Your check was brought back here immediately.
Okay, fair enough. So it sounds like we've kind of got a plan in place to avoid the airfare overruns, and I think other than that, we did a reasonable job of staying on budget, which is good. Okay, the third item on the agenda is just whatever Nia needs to put out regarding her logistical arrangements for New York, so I'm just going to give her the floor, and Nia, whatever it is that you need to inform the coordinating committee about or any questions that have come up.
Okay, sure. Thanks for jump-starting the coordinating efforts, Tracy. So I basically went with the email that you sent where you asked if there's any way that the Bigman Hotel could provide maybe breakfast for us. And I spoke with the gentleman there who's in charge of the food and beverage area. I just sent out the proposal that he sent to us. Does everybody have that? The date is correct. Yeah, he has October 3rd through October 5th. But he probably just made a boo-boo. I'm sure we could fix that. And for a continental breakfast inside the room, he has here a minimum of 25 guests. That would be $12, and it would be an assortment of mini pastries and croissants, fresh seasonal fruit platter, coffee, tea, water. For lunch, he sent a sample menu. And for lunch, it's the chef's selection, he said, would change daily. This one, he has mixed green salad, buffalo mozzarella. I don't know what that is. Maybe somebody could tell me what that is. Tomato and basil salad. There's roasted breast of chicken, penne pasta, tomato sauce, mixed vegetables and roasted potatoes, cheesecake, sliced fruit display. And that will be $28 per person plus service charges. So that's the total of $40 so far per person. And since there is that $50 per day stipend, that would pretty much almost use that up for one day. So as a committee, you need to let me know what you would like me to negotiate down or up or change in any other way.
I'm sorry, Barney. I missed the amount of money. How much are you costing us per day?
It would be so far $40 plus tax, and that would be for breakfast and lunch, a minimum of 25 people. How many do we normally have? You know the headcount, Laverne, for the last, excluding the GM? You know what the headcount?
Yeah. No, 25. I mean, 25 people is fine. It's 22 members of the board plus Laverne and Arlene, John and Otis. 25 is about right.
Yeah.
What about Ricardo?
Okay.
What was the amount? That's what I was asking. The amount you're saying, what is the cost?
but the cost for breakfast and lunch, this guesstimate right now is $40.
Okay. Yeah, this is Tracy. Let me weigh in here because I did some food arranging in Berkeley. The problem with food in New York is that they have that heavy-duty hotel service charge and taxes, which are really high. I mean, this is pretty much what we paid in Berkeley, but we only paid like 8% sales tax, and with New York, you're going to pay like 17% service plus another 9% sales tax. So the taxes are higher, and that's going to push it higher. I think the continental breakfast we probably have to do. If we can't provide coffee and tea in the morning, it's going to take forever to get the meeting started. And I think that we almost always do that. In terms of lunch, there's advantages in terms of the meeting occurring in a more timely fashion because everybody's not running outside getting food and coming back. And I think it does help the meeting to flow. On the other hand, given the service charges that you're going to pay, it's probably going to be a little more expensive than just giving people a per diem and sending them on their own to get pizza or euros or whatever they get. So it's really just a question, given the fact that the hotel rooms are really, really expensive in New York, it might be that providing the food is too much. But that's really the decision that somebody has to make.
So, can I ask a question? If we did the breakfast, we will give them the cost of the breakfast, we will minus that from the per diem, right? So, for example, the breakfast is $12, each person gets $38 for lunch and dinner?
Basically something like that, yeah. What you would probably do is provide breakfast, and then you would provide a per diem in the $100 to $150 range for the weekend. Obviously, if you provided lunch, then you'd provide a much smaller per diem like we did in Berkeley.
Okay. So that's it. That's what I have proposed. And I met with Bertel Reimers, who's the interim general manager, and Ezra Hardat, the business manager, and we are arranging transportation, and there will be a get-together at the station. They prefer Friday because a lot of the paid staff is already there on Friday rather than doing it on Saturday where they have to come into the station. So that's just an update on that. But just to keep that in mind when we're setting the agenda, that they would prefer to have the station event Friday night.
Friday night. Okay, good. So, Levine, do you want to maybe make the call on the food option? I mean, the good part of food being there is that you can probably have a lunch break of an hour as opposed to probably closer to 2 hours by the time everybody leaves, finds food, comes back, and resumes the meeting, but it's going to cost a bit more.
You know, I think, you know, it's a creep. I mean, because Tracy, you know, you kind of took the lead on that. You know, I'm happy with any of the decisions. So you kind of, like, called that before. So I think that what you can do is, like, determine, okay, we have them go out to lunch and then determine what the per diem is. So why don't you make a call on that? I mean, it worked out fine this last time.
Okay. Nia, what do you think? What's your preference here? What do you think makes sense?
I think we should at least do the breakfast, do the $12 and minus that from the $50, and then folks get the difference. Diagonally across from the Beekman is a diner. However, people need to get there early. They were a little slow, and that's why people weren't getting back on time. That's the drawback. There are other places a little farther away, and, you know, that presented an issue. Unless we could say what if they were to provide, for example, the vegetables and the penne and fruit, but that would be less than $28, would that work for us? Just to have people come back sooner than later.
All right. Well, if we do lunch on Friday and Saturday, forgetting Sunday, we're basically going to have about a $1,700 food bill. Leaving aside the breakfast, but it's about $1,700 or $1,800 that we're spending on two lunches. And probably we'd be looking at about a $30 difference on the per diem times 22 board members times two. It's basically about $500 extra dollars to have lunch Friday and Saturday at the hotel. I mean, if you guys are desperately trying to trim the money, don't do it. But if that seems to make sense to make the meetings go more smoothly, that's about what it's going to cost us.
Yes, Mrs.
Lauren.
So what about just having having lunch of an hour and 15, an hour and 30 minutes, and just be realistic about it and let people relax, eat lunch, and get back on time, and get back in that time period? I think because we really will be tight for money at that time. We have a credit card that we need to pay off, which we still owe right now. So I think that in terms of upfront costs from the foundation, we need to eliminate that as much as possible. So,
I have another idea.
I'm just Let me just finish.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were done. Sorry.
No. And so the $50 less the $15 sounds good.
Okay. Then it sounds to me, unless there's a strong objection, that the consensus decision is that we're just going to do continental breakfast all 3 days. And larger per diems, and that's it. And we'll schedule probably 90 minutes for lunch days, so people can get out, get food, come back.
I think if people are going out for lunch, you almost have to give them an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then that's just the adjustment that we make, and that's what we're doing. Okay, Nia, so it's breakfast only.
Okay, and to help to expedite the hour and a half, there were some nice places close to the hotel where there are that would deliver. So maybe what I could do is like maybe just pass around the menus, and maybe we could pre-order. They have Indian. They have different types, and Indian food is really good. It's clean. It's good stuff. That's just to help to facilitate starting on time, not having people wander around too long. So there would be that
option. If you could look into that, yeah, that'd be great. That's an option, definitely.
Right. The other thing is, we were thinking about, we meaning Virtual Indian and I were thinking about a jazz night in Harlem. The when I noticed on the contract it said that the room goes at 10 p.m. Friday night. Are we really going to be ending at 10 p.m.?
I believe that those were just some tentative times that were sent to them to give them an idea. They're flexible.
Okay. Do you know by when we could complete the agenda for us to let the people know? Because we have to arrange rides to the jazz thing and all of that.
My guess is that we would do that at the next coordinating committee meeting when George is present. If you need the information sooner than that, we could try to work out some details on the list.
Okay. Okay. All right. Not a problem. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, so that brings us to our final item, which is probably going to be the most difficult one, which is time management on teleconferences. There's two items. These are both via George, and I am bringing them to the committee for feedback, input, and possibly coordinating committee sign-on to the proposals. The first is more general, and it just relates to things to help us function effectively on the teleconferences. George wanted me to express that these are things that he's trying to implement on an ongoing basis anyway, but this would be a question of the coordinating committee officially agreeing or endorsing the fact that these are good things to do. There's three parts. The first is that board member comments are restricted to 2 minutes, strictly in terms of timekeeping. That's number one. Number two is a procedure where every board member gets to speak once on an issue before anyone else speaks twice. In other words, you do not take people for a second go-round comment on the same issue if there's someone else who has not yet spoken on it. And then the third piece of the package is that no board member would be entitled to talk about an issue more than twice without basically the consent of the whole board to avoid, you know, four times and five times making repetitive comments. So that's sort of his package. He said that, it, you know, to some degree he's trying to do these things anyway and intends to as chair, but that would be his proposal, and he's wondering if the coordinating committee would be willing to sort of endorse it. So that's out there for comments.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
We really do need to do something to tighten these things up, to stop some of the long diatribes and actually, what's the word I want, be a little more efficient in the way we state points relating to the business at hand.
This is Nia Tracy.
Yes, Nia.
Could you kindly repeat that list again?
Yes, of course. And I'm sorry, I was not able to send it out in writing prior to the meeting, and I apologize for that. Just time didn't allow it. So George's proposal for time management on teleconferences has basically three elements. The first is that comments by board members would be limited to 2 minutes. Number two, that each board member can speak on an issue once and no board member is to speak on the same issue twice until everyone who wants to speak once has been heard. And the third part is that no board member would speak more than twice on the same point without the consent of the entire board. So we would not have people making third, fourth, and fifth comments on the same point.
Okay. This is Nia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am, and I don't usually have a lot to say, so this is fine with me. But I'd also like to add that George actually, he writes down the stack, because sometimes he too forgets who's where and who comes after whom. So there's mutual responsibility on our part and the chair's part. The third item, I don't know how we can really manage that by saying you're going to stop someone from speaking on an item three times. If there's enough time and they've gone around and the person is back on the stack, I don't think it would be correct for us to censure them. I'm not saying I go for it, because believe me, it's just like the people who are always on the email writing the same thing over and over and respond to every little thing. That's another headache. I mean, it's not a headache for me. I just ignore them, frankly. But how do we... That concerns me. Maybe it's something that we could say, try not to do, but is he going to say, I rule you out of order, then we challenge the chair, and then people are going to pull out Robert's rules and pull this out, and then that's going to waste time, and then they're gonna end, he's going to lose, and they're going to have to speak anyway. You get what I'm saying? That just seems a little convoluted and cumbersome.
Okay, so there's questions about, you know, what would the enforcement be? Any other comments?
Number three. Just on number three, Tracy. Just on number three.
Got it. Just on number three. Anybody else have any feedback? Okay. Well, it sounds to me like we're going to give coordinating committee endorsement to items one and two. And we're not going to item three, unless people, maybe we should have a vote on item three.
Well, let me say something about what we just got through talking about. At the very beginning of the meetings on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday, the chairman should remind everyone of the rules.
That makes sense to me.
I'm sorry, what about item 3? We were going to vote?
Well, I think what George was looking for was coordinating committee endorsement of sort of the whole package of the three items. And it looks like the only objection is Nia's concerns about item 3, which is that nobody speaks more than twice on a particular item unless the whole board consents to open it up.
Mm-hmm.
So basically there's two choices. We can communicate to him that 1 and 2 is the package that we're comfortable with. There's a coordinating committee member that doesn't like item 3, or we can, I guess, vote the whole thing up and down.
Okay.
I guess items 1 and 2 aren't controversial, so I'm thinking maybe we'll put out item 3 and do a vote, and if it's a question of one board member with an objection, I can report that, but nominally the majority of the coordinating committee is saying okay. If it's more than one person that's objecting, then we'll make it clear that number 3 really doesn't have the support of this committee. Does that make sense? Does that work as a process? Okay. I guess it does then. Okay, so what we're voting on is the sort of semi-controversial proposal, which is that no board member speaks more than twice on a particular point at a teleconference. We're talking about teleconferences, not in-person meetings. And that's the standing rule. And I guess I'll just go through the roll about whether people are in favor of that as a standing rule or they would prefer that that not happen. So, Calypso, yes or no? Alonzo?
Yes.
Okay. Nia?
No.
Okay. LaVarn?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Joe? Okay. Any interlopers or latecomers? All right. Well, I'm going to abstain and leave that as a 3-1 endorsement. So I will report that back to George along with the comments, the request that the stack be written down by the chair and that the chairman remind everyone of the standing rules prior to the beginning of the meeting. Okay, well, we're not doing bad for the hour goal. We have one more item, which I'm not entirely sure about how to do this in open session, so I'm going to start, and Arlene, if you feel like I'm getting over the edge of what we can do in open session, then please let me know. I think it's more about the protocol than about the facts, so it should be okay, but it does concern executive session. So if you feel that we can't do this, we'll just stop. Basically, it was a protocol regarding executive session. And basically, it involved the ability of the board to segment its consultations so that there were sections that involved appropriate consultation with legal counsel, and also sections that involved board discussion that was board only, or board and executive staff only. So basically the question is whether the coordinating committee sort of endorses segmenting our consultation regarding matters into sort of an attorney consultation and then a board-only discussion. Does that make sense to people, what I'm asking?
This is Nia. Pardon my ignorance, but I'm a little lost here. I don't understand what I'm sure there are underlying things that I just don't understand. At first I thought you were going to the PNB 2010, which is for directors only, listserv. But then then you said something else, and that just threw that out of the loop. So
we're talking about, okay, let me try again. We're talking about teleconferences, and we're talking about executive session teleconferences when we have consultation with legal counsel regarding legal matters. The request or the possible proposal is that we segment or structure these consultations so that there are periods of time in which we consult with legal counsel and periods of time in which we have board discussions that do not include legal counsel in terms of board decisions regarding how we might want to proceed. It's basically asking for a segmented protocol when necessary, when we are dealing with legal matters in executive session, or at least the opportunity for the chair to suggest that that might be a good way to proceed.
This is Arlene.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that what you're saying with this, that not only means our legal counsel, but also anyone that we might be bringing in that's representing us in a given case, et cetera.
Anyone who is serving in the position of a counsel and offering us advice.
Okay. I think that's a good idea. I think that the board at times needs to have discussion without counsel present after they've had the quote-unquote facts presented to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or
it would be a time and a space to kind of absorb the facts and talk about them a bit without basically having counsel on the clock.
This is LaVarne.
Yes, Lauren.
I agree, because I think that what has happened over the years is that the role of counsel, that some people, in fact, we received a couple of emails where they equate the counsel to being a board member in terms of, and during discussions. So I think that this basically, kind of go back to what is the role of counsel and what is the role of the board in the show the separation. So I think this makes sense. I think it's solid, and I think that our counsel will definitely understand, our current counsel understands the difference in the two roles.
Yeah, the reason that it's coming, just one sec. I will call you in just a sec. The reason it's coming up as a protocol is that it's different than the protocol that we've been following, and the idea is that this would be sort of the standing procedure when we have these discussions at,
okay,
going forward. Yes, Alonzo.
Nia. Sorry? It's Nia Tracy? That's
my
voice.
I thought I heard Alonzo. Did I not?
No.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dia.
My question is, if we are having a discussion that does not include legal counsel, and a director needs to have something clarified in terms of just to protect the foundation and the director, him or herself, can we get a legal opinion before we vote, or how do we do this? It depends on what the discussion is, and I guess because I've been around for so long and we've always had input from Foundation Council, for me to go to this, it's a little different for me, but I'm flexible. I'm just wondering what would be the disadvantage in terms of making a decision, because I like to make informed decisions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I know that, we don't always do that, to be perfectly honest with you. So how do we protect ourselves?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if it's okay, I guess I'll channel what my understanding of the proposal is in terms of the answer to that question, which is, firstly, that the board-only conversations would, of course, follow the consultation with an attorney, the presentation of whatever information needs to be presented, and a full question and answer session. So theoretically, or at least hopefully, points of information would have been clarified prior to. The second answer to the question, I guess, would be that, counsel could certainly be available for a consultation if needed on a particular point, but that they would simply not be present for the duration of the full conversation. And again, I think the intent is for conversation to be conversation rather than necessarily decision making or action. I think we're basically trying to make a space for board discussion, which we're not basically putting counsel on the clock for what is basically an evaluative process where people are considering options and throwing out ideas.
This is LaVarne.
Yeah.
I certainly support what you said, Tracy, in terms of, you know, our counsel is a very, he's a wonderful lawyer, and he's very busy. And he understands the issues that we have as a foundation in terms of finance, and you're absolutely right that he does not need to be on the clock to hear our various, the board various discussions. So I really support that, and one of the reasons for that, you know, he gives his opinion, and then we discuss it as a board, and he does not have to monitor those discussions. We are quite qualified to do those on our own. Thank you.
Okay. So does any of that address your concerns, Nia, or not so much?
Well, it answers the questions, but I am still not, I understand that the decisions will be made after consultation with Foundation Council, but after he leaves, I'm sure that there will be discussion, but if other questions come up. So is it a matter of cost? Why we're doing this? Why are we doing this?
I'm not quite sure I followed that. Say that again.
Why are we doing this? Is it a matter of cost? Why we want to exclude Foundation Council from the discussion?
Well, I think the idea behind the proposal is twofold, and I may be sort of extrapolating from what had been said to me this afternoon, but I'll try to be accurate. Yes, cost is a concern, number one. Number two is I think the concern that when people have received, you know, an evaluation of a legal matter and a number of options have been presented to them and they've asked questions and they've gotten answers, that there is sort of a need for some space just to consider things and throw out ideas and look at pros and cons, that is really more of a discussion evaluation process, and that basically that process can and should go on between the members of the board without basically paying a large hourly fee for someone to listen to it, because that's part of a decision-making process, and that needs to go on within a space that is not so incredibly expensive. I think that's basically where it's coming from. That it's not necessarily from point A to point B that you receive, that you go through the consultation process with counsel and then BAP, you know what you want to do. Mm-hmm. That there should be some space in between those two processes.
Right. Yeah, I'm all for saving money, but I just don't want to make a decision that will cost us even more in the long run, you know? So that's why I'm really thinking hard.
Well, this is just a suggestion, and I am just going to throw this out because consensus is always nice if we can get to it. It sounds to me like your concern is the decision part of it, not the discussion part of it.
Right.
It is possible to, you know, give feedback that we like the proposal, but that we would like the discussion part to be confined to a committee of the whole, which is basically, I think, the Roberts rule structure there is that we can discuss as a board, but that basically that period of time is motion free. And that once we get to the point of a motion, that we then move into a more formal structure, i.e. council present. I mean, that's one option for the concern that you're putting out.
So, you know, number three will be right out the window with that one. Option three was out the window. That was just a joke. I had to throw that in there. Okay.
Well, we're trying. You know, we're trying to come up with something that'll work better. I mean, that's, you know, that's where this is coming from.
Hello,
Tracy? Yes? Was that you?
Yes. You know, yes. The other part of it, you know, realistically, we have to, you know, never mind. I was going to say, I must refuterate this. Anyway, you know, the other thing is that, you know, we know that our board tends to dev into political sides, and, you know, if you don't like what a person said and another group, you know, side with that. I mean, by taking this very mature and adult approach, I think that we eliminate a lot of the political siding and you know, and in terms of, you know, opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think this is a very good proposal, Tracy, because we really need to, you know, only we as a group can decide that we're going to eliminate all the political squabbling among the board. So I think that this is one means to do that, and I applaud you for bringing that forward.
So is there anyone who hasn't weighed in on it that wants to give an opinion? Alonzo, Arlene?
I can understand separating it, and I would think that there could be issues that need to go back to council, and so we may need to have them either available to call later in the session to answer those questions or have another, you know, meeting at which those are dealt with, depending on the urgency of the matters. But I can totally understand that the board may wish to discuss some things without council there, once they've gotten, you know, the information that council gives.
Alonzo, do you have any?
No, I have nothing to add.
Okay, so it sounds like if council is available by phone in case something comes up in the non-council session that needs to be addressed, that would be helpful. And presumably, council can be available by phone if needed without charging us for the duration of the entire session. So that would be option one. And then the other thing that came up was the committee of the whole option. I think Nia liked that in other words, these were discussions that didn't involve motions. Do people want to put that in the proposal, or is that just something that Nia is attached to and nobody else is?
This is LaVarn. I'm not really sure what it is that Nia is talking about.
Well, Nia expressed some concern that if we left the non-council present part open for motions, that some decision making might happen without proper input of council. I mean, I think it's a question whether this is a discussion that ends in discussion or if this is a discussion that ends in action.
If I look at the bylaws, I don't see anything that says that council has to be present and approve us putting motion forward.
Okay, so maybe we will leave the proposal as it is, that basically it's a discussion session only with the board, with counsel available by phone if needed, with no particular restraints above and beyond that. Okay. Would somebody like to put that forward as a motion or a recommendation?
Could you please say it again, Tracy?
Would somebody like to put forward that structure or protocol as a motion or recommendation by the coordinating committee?
Could you please repeat the structure or protocol? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Okay. That in discussions of legal matters that the foundation is engaged in, that the general protocol be receiving counsel's advice, a question and answer session following, and then, if deemed necessary, a board-only discussion period to evaluate the information received and consider options. I think that's the best I can do right now with the wording.
Can you float that by us on paper so we can look at it and ruminate?
I don't have my computer. I was just ordering trace.
What do you need?
What trace is proposed.
Yes, it will take me about 2 minutes to type it up, but I can do that.
Okay.
And again, I think the intent of George's proposal is the ability to sort of use the standing procedure when it seems necessary. In other words, when a matter seems to be of significant enough import that it requires this.
Actually, I have a question, like a parliamentarian type of question. That never mind.
Okay. Well, we can continue to talk while I'm typing.
Can I add something to the prior discussions that we had on, we were talking about how we were going to do in terms of if I'm added once again to the confirmations from my travel agent? Do you mind if I bring? What I was going to ask is that when I get the confirmation, or when each person get a confirmation on their flight, they should respond to the travel agent and copy me. They should confirm the confirmation.
Good. That's a good idea.
Confirm the confirmation and copy me.
Okay. That's fine, I think.
Okay. Great.
Well, okay.
Let me say this. Campbell's problem